and loves people.
Community Connection this morning right here on K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3, 8:39 AM on this Wednesday, May 3rd, 52 degrees outside, and we are joined by Kevin Hearn, who is here for Congress. Let's just start off, as we were discussing in the hallway there, just a little bit. Normally Charlie's in here.
Yes.
I'm not Charlie. This is my first time meeting you, and I'm not sure if you've met Charlie before, but I assume that you have. Let's just start with the basic. Why are you running for Congress?
Absolutely. You know, I've never ran for anything before, so it's my first time into political arena. We've had some really good men and women that have in this country the last 8 years that have really had to fight hard against the administration that was trying to replace the Constitution with their own ideals. You see what happens, and you know, we've have so many people without jobs, so many people on welfare, so many people just discouraged and hopeless. And as I've looked at that as a small business person, I've continually seen the federal government become my biggest competitor. And that's unfortunate because it's stopped the job creation. You know, I just got fed up. And as we know, Congressman Bridenstine has had a three-term commitment to not run again. He's obviously hot in the running for the head of NASA. And it felt like it was time to have business principles put in place that we could put people back to work and still respect everything about the Constitution, life, liberty, and the opportunity to own property. And we can only do that if we have people that have the economic freedom to do what they need to do without having to rely on the government.
And so maybe this is asking the same question in a different way, but what is the process in your mind of saying, like, I'm going to step up and I'm going to do something? Because there's so many people that could do it.
Sure.
Right? Anybody could step up and do it, but you decided, I'm going to do it, I'm going to step up, and I'm the person for the job here.
Absolutely. Do I think I'm the only person that could do the job? No, there's a lot of people, a lot of great Americans out there. People have to make a commitment. You have to look into a person's heart to why they're really doing it. Do they have the skill sets? I mean, there will be a lot of great people that get in with a lot of great ideas. I think experience is really one that we need to look at. We have a lot of folks that are in D.C. that have never created a single job. I've created thousands. We've had a lot of folks in D.C. who have never balanced a budget, yet they talk about it. I balanced budgets for over 20 years. That's what I do. For the last 13 years, I've spent a lot of time working with the franchisees and McDonald's Corporation, which is small business I'm in, McDonald's franchisee for 30 years, and balancing multi-billion-dollar budgets. You also have to look at the fact that folks talk about regulations, and I've experienced regulations firsthand. All the other folks that have been in the business running for this particular seat have never had to fight those regulations because they're not in business for themselves. So a lot of the problems we have today, I've experienced them as a small business person.
Okay, and so the common theme that's been said throughout here is just job creation. I think that's something that I think, maybe you can tell me differently, that you believe in strongly, is job creation and creating jobs and helping people find work and find employment.
Absolutely. I think the previous administration did those nine infamous words that we're the government, we're here to help. And they thought they were the ones that were going to create all the jobs. And the reality is that's been an abysmal failure. If you go back and just look at the last 8 years, we have more people on welfare than ever. We have the lowest participation rate since the 1970s of people in our population are working. Not in 2008, when the previous administration talked about the need to, give you free health care and free education and free cell phones, that we went from 79 million people out of the workforce to 98 million people out of the workforce. We have our population is 324 million as of 12/31/16. We have 163 million plus that are getting some kind of subsidy from the federal government, over half of the population. We have to get people an opportunity to get back to work so they can afford the things they need without having to rely on the government to give it to them.
Wow, and so absolutely things that's probably your first and foremost is what it sounds like, of things that you were trying to accomplish. Is there anything else you're trying to accomplish as you get in there, anything else? I mean, obviously there's so many things that you're going to have to think about and worry about and deal with and things, job creation probably being on the top of your list. Is there anything else that you're wanting to focus on?
Absolutely. I mean, there's been, well, first of all, is restoring hope to America. Nobody likes to be dependent on somebody else where there's not a freedom of liberty that you feel like you've earned something. It's demoralizing. I grew up very poor on food stamps. I've seen it firsthand my entire time of growing up. that it really is demoralizing, not only to the individual family, but to the members of the family as well as you go to school. I mean, nobody likes to be known as not having a job or having to rely on assistance. So I want to bring to the fact that I recognize that. I don't have to read it in the Wall Street Journal or hear about it on a newscast. I've experienced it. The other big issue is reminding people that what the House of Representatives and the Senators are there for, which from the House standpoint is the power of the purse. You know, this nonsense that's gone on time and time again of not passing budgets. I mean, you only have a couple jobs you're really supposed to do. The power of the purse and to make laws that to protect the rights and freedoms of the Constitution. And when they're not doing that, the question would be begged to ask is, what exactly are you doing? And we have to get folks up there that have a proven record of actually getting stuff done. And I've done that for years.
Well, you mentioned that just a moment ago, balancing the budget and things. And I think a lot of people are maybe not necessarily knowing kind of what's going on, but they know that money is not good and we're kind of in a tight situation. We don't know. Things aren't looking up. What do you say, I guess, to those people about what you can do and how you can help?
Yeah, I think we have to go back and look. I'll just give you an example. You know, we're talking about, I was going to say if Charlie was here, I'd say, because he's a little older like I am, not yourself, you're a younger person, but we've paid in our entire life into Social Security with the expectation that when we got to an age of retirement, whatever that time was, it's changed since I first started paying in, but we had a reasonable expectation those monies would be there. I'm just using one silo of funding that comes from, it's money that I paid in, the government was supposed to invest, and then pay me back later in my life. The solution for that is to continue to scare folks and say it's not going to be there, so therefore we need to increase funding. What's not being said is that the federal government's borrowing that money to fund other things where there have been miserable failures in expending more than they've earned through the tax policies. And my question is, just a simple solution for that would be, is why don't we have Congress, House and the Senate, get rid of all of their retirement funds, their pensions. Why does the House and Senate need a pension fund? Those are, I mean, if you're up there and you're truly a citizen legislator, why don't you go up there and just be a citizen legislator? You shouldn't go up there with an expectation of retiring. That's sort of contradictory to the thought of why you're getting elected. I mean, your constituent doesn't vote you to go up there. They vote you to go up there and be a representative. I mean, the Constitution says you're to be paid a sum of money as prescribed by the legislator. But from the retirement standpoint, you know, that needs to be gotten rid of. And those monies could go back into helping secure the Social Security Fund itself.
And so it kind of sounds like, hoping once you get there, you're going to make, I mean, you're definitely going to make change. You're not going to do the same things that have been done prior in the past. You're actively trying to make something different because it hasn't kind of worked before. It's kind of what I'm,
absolutely,
I guess, getting here. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that's what I'm.
Well, for 20 plus years now, I've not worked for anyone. I've signed both sides of the paycheck, so I get what getting paid last looks like. And you know, I'm going on 56 years old, so I don't have a lot of time to get this done. So I want to hit the ground running. I believe that we have an opportunity to apply some business principles to Congress. I know people think that's sort of not possible, but you know, just as I mentioned about the pension plans, why do we have those? Why don't we have, you know, the salaries of the House and the Senate mirror what's happening in the general population? You know, if you look and talk to the citizens of this country, their immense frustration is they think that believe, and probably rightfully so, that the House and the Senate don't live under the same rules that the general population, the very people that put them there. And we need to reconnect that. I mean, when you have an abysmal approval rating of 10, 12, 15% of the people that you're representing think that's the job that the body's doing, that's problematic. I mean, there's a big disconnect. We need to reestablish and start being a performance-driven representative body. We all have to remember, the only reason that the House and the Senate and the President and the whole U.S. government exists is because of the consent of the people of the United States of America. And, you know, there's going to be an uprising, and we have a voting process, and, you know, we could do something as simple. Apply a business solution to some of these. With all incoming House and Senate members, those rules start applying. You could actually just grandfather in whatever is there so you don't hurt the existing base that's there. I'm not saying it shouldn't be done, but this is a solution. And therefore, you start looking and peering into the eyes and the hearts of the people that are going. Are they going there because this will be the best job they've ever had, with the most money they've ever made, with a retirement plan that they never had? And when you start changing that and the person truly wants to go up there and do the right thing, like I do, then all these other things are just a sidebar to what's going on. I've been very blessed that I've been very successful in business. I've done that because I've listened to people and treated people right and helped people along the way so that they're also successful. And I believe that a rising tide lifts all boats. So we need to get more money back in the pockets of the people in America so that they can be making their own decisions and not being relied on the government.
And you mentioned kind of your upbringing. You mentioned you were on food stamps when you were younger, and you've grown. You've worked and worked and worked and worked, got to where you are. You've been successful in business, but you've worked all the way up through this. Isn't something you've just, I guess, kind of decided being in a political background, I guess. This is, you're a hardworking guy. You've been involved with business, and then you're trying to take those principles, I guess, to Congress. But you're a man of the people is what I'm trying to get at, that you have been in business, you've been working. You're not just somebody who has kind of been out of touch and then decides to run for Congress. You've seen what it's like for the people who are voting.
Absolutely. You know, when you're a small business person, you don't, unfortunately, you can't sit on the sidelines and say you're not involved in watching what government does, because they affect you every day. And there's been a lot of criticism of businesses in general, whether it's large or small, over the past few years about keeping money on the balance sheet. Well, businesses have to operate on strategic ideas. They have to look 2, 3, 4 years down the road. And when policies are changing within a year, you have to keep money back, because otherwise your business will go out of business and all those folks will be lost without a job. You know, I would say the biggest difference for a guy like me that grew up the way I did, and it's on my website, hernforcongress.com, you'll hear a little snippet of what's going on there. But, you know, fortunately, unfortunately, I grew up very poor. No running water until I was in high school, no indoor facilities. My stepdad didn't like to work, so we lived on food stamps. The government would say went from giving a hand up to just giving handouts, and it was very frustrating for me. And I learned early on that work was the way out. When I graduated from high school, there was a guy that became president, much like our president today, in a very troubled time. His name was Ronald Reagan. And Ronald Reagan said, the American dream is still there. You may not believe in it. You may have lost hope from the previous administration, but if you were willing to work hard, take risk, and when you get knocked down, get back up again and keep doing it over and over, and you will experience the American dream. It won't happen overnight, and it won't happen very quickly, and it won't happen out of luck. Ben Hogan once said, luck is everything. The harder I practice and the harder I work, the luckier I get. So I don't believe anything is luck. I think you kind of walk through life, and when you've experienced the things that I have, it gives you the experience to help others. And that's what's happened within this framework of McDonald's franchising program. I've learned that helping others can reap huge benefits, and it's been a lot of training through that process for over 30 years that's given me to a point right now where it's sort of puzzling to me when I look at how simple this process seems to be in fixing the government, yet it seems to be made so complex, because if it's complex, then we as citizens can't possibly understand it. Mm-hmm. And I'm being facetious about that. You know, I think it's on purpose that we make it that complex.
And so you know, you're running, and I think you're running for all these reasons. People who are my age, 23, people who are able to vote, maybe in college, maybe younger, who kind of don't really understand what's going on. They just kind of see that it's they feel and they read and they see and they hear that it's not as it should be. It's not as good as it could be. It's not. They feel like they're going into a time where things aren't as good as they were back in the old days, and we'll never get back there. What do you say to those people who are they have the power to vote? Younger people, I guess, 18 and up, have those power to vote, but they don't really know necessarily who they're voting for or why they're voting for that, and they're just kind of hoping. What do you say to those people?
Yeah, so I talk to those people every day, mm-hmm. because I have a daughter that's 27 who's mm-hmm. going through the McDonald's franchising program, who, when she graduated from college, she wanted to do something differently, and so was in the apparel industry, and realized that was tough, and that whether you like it or not, regardless of your age, and there's so many things today that are the same when I was 23 years old. In this economy, money is important. You have to, unfortunately, that's the measure of your success in work. A lot of times it's your status, and you can choose to want a lot of it, or you can choose to not want a lot of it, but realizing that you're not the outcomes that the previous administration, the Obama administration, wanted to demonstrate, there's no such thing as equal outcomes. It's equal opportunity. And I have a son that's 22 and a son that's 16. So I get to see a whole splattering, and I have 425 employees, many of whom are 18 to 24 years old. So I see them work very hard. I have 23-year-olds that are making $60,000, $70,000 a year because they wanted to work hard. They didn't have to go to a four-year college. They chose to take their skill sets of managing people, which you don't learn in college, and apply those in a process and work hard from being a person that may have worked a front counter register and learned that taking care of people and treating people nicely and showing up to work on time. And oh, by the way, you have to pay taxes, and it's not a bad thing. You know, we pay taxes to our government. That's how we... We just had to make sure we have more taxpayers, not more taxes, tax rates. And so I've seen this firsthand time and time again. I mean, I've literally hired, I just checked the last 10 years, over 5,000 people in the first district. And so, you know, a lot of things, you know, I think where the discouragement has come from today, because I see it with my 22-year-old, is that this notion that everybody should be equal. You know, that if you've been successful, that it's bad, that you must have done something wrong. And that's not true. And this America is built on prosperity. If you work hard, as I mentioned earlier, with Ronald Reagan's promise and restoration of hope. And we need to do that again. And we need to make sure that we help educate our younger generation that, you know, if you're going to go down a degree path, that that particular outcome is not going to always be equal. If you're, you know, I don't want to, you know, particularly pick on any particular degree. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we have great career techs in this state with Tulsa Tech and Tri-County Tech that teach great skills that people are coming out of those with making more than a lot of four-year colleges are making. And, you know, we are very blessed to have some great higher education systems in this state. We have opportunities in this state, obviously, with our K-12 that we got to figure out. But our higher education, we have a lot of opportunities there. And I think... just looking and understanding, you know, President Trump has been very emphatic about talking about the vocational skills across the country. And, you know, if you look at part of our problem in America is we lost our manufacturing. Our manufacturing required a lot of vocational skills, skill sets of welding, skill sets of CNC control machining that's gone overseas. And that's why he's talking about this. If we're keeping Snap-on Tools and Carrier Corporation and Ford Motor Company, in this country, we need more vocational skills.
All right, and so we're looking at our clock and we're running down a little bit of time here. You mentioned a website earlier, but people are interested, they're listening. Where can they find more about you, your website? You have social media, all that stuff, all your contact information.
Sure. To keep it simple, HearnForCongress.com and all that's on there about Facebook and Twitter accounts and what's going on there as well. We really appreciate the opportunity to be here. It's always great to be in Bartlesville.
Well, we appreciate you coming in again, Kevin Hearn, and HearnForCongress.com.
That's absolutely correct.
All right, I appreciate you being here today.
Thanks, Ben.
Scattered showers and storms will remain this morning and then will gradually dry out going into the evening, but it is going to be a cool one out there today. Highs will only hit right around 60 degrees.